For decades, a secret army of tax attorneys, accountants, and wealth managers have been developing into the shadowy wealth defense industry. These agents of inequality, quote-unquote, are paid millions to hide trillions for the richest 0.01%. In his book, The Wealth Hoarders, inequality expert Chuck Collins interviews the leading players and gives a unique insider account of how the industry is doing everything it can to create and entrench hereditary dynasties of wealth and power. He exposes the inner workings of these agents of inequality, showing how they deploy anonymous shell companies, family offices, offshore accounts, opaque trusts, and sham transactions to ensure the world's richest pay next to no taxes. Chuck Collins has been on our program before. We are thrilled to have him back. The new book is The Wealth Hoarders, How Billionaires Pay Millions to Hide Trillions. Chuck Collins, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me back, Joe.
Really nice to have you back on the program. So first off, let's talk about what led you. Give a little bit so people know your background. You had the wealth, right? The family money that you're talking about. You know of what you speak.
Yeah, you know, several decades ago, I was born into a wealthy family, and one of the things that did was give me a front row seat into how wealthy families have trusted advisors, attorneys, estate planners, accountants who work for them to kind of keep the money from going away and increase it and then transfer it to the next generation. So that was what really sparked my interest in this book, is to understand that there's this huge enabling professional group that helped the very wealthy. And I'm talking about, you know, the 30 million and up crowd, all the way up to the billionaires, figure out how to sequester and hide their money, avoid taxes and responsibility.
So just to stay on this point for a moment, but I mean, you for a long time, you were questioning the ethics of inherited wealth. You were uncomfortable with how that was set up.
Yeah, you know, I saw the way in which huge amounts of wealth, and this is even more relevant today, is flowing from one generation to the next, that we're seeing the emergence of what you could call wealth, inherited wealth dynasties in the United States. You know, we hear a lot about the high tech fortunes and, you know, the Bezos and the Gates. But what's really interesting is the enduring growth of billionaires, whether it's the Mars family, the Waltons, the Kochs. These are families that are seeing their wealth accelerate. So, you know, I didn't want to be part of any of this system that was creating huge inherited wealth for some where others are just struggling economically. I saw it as kind of anti-democratic. And the growth of dynasties undermines a lot of what we really care about.
So since there have been taxes, there have obviously been people who have tried to avoid paying them. So for the wealthiest of people in this country, what laws are there, what rules are there, and how does it ultimately help them?
Yeah, I mean, what's important to realize is, as inequality has grown, as the wealth, and I'm really talking now the last 15 years, we're seeing this huge updraft, not just to the 1%, but the 1/10 of 1%. And so there's huge fortunes. I mean, you know, just in the last year during the pandemic, the billionaire class in the United States has seen their wealth go up 55%. A third of their wealth gain since 1990 has been in the last year during the pandemic. And part of what now is happening is that this wealth defense industry, and they'll tell you, we're obeying the law. But what they're doing is they're writing the laws. They're creating a whole new separate rules. These are offshore tax havens, anonymous shell companies, trusts, and what we call dynasty trusts that, you know, wealthy people create that put the money outside of reach of taxes for centuries. So those are some of the rules. They're involved. This wealth defense industry is involved in writing the rules, rigging the rules on behalf of their clients.
So you use that title, wealth defense industry. We certainly hear a lot about the super wealthy, but less about the financial and legal professionals who help protect and ultimately perpetuate that wealth. So who makes up this wealth defense industry, and ultimately what do they do?
Well, they are, and I didn't create that term, social scientist Jeffrey Winters talks about this wealth defense industry. And they are tax attorneys, accountants, wealth managers, and a growing number of what we call family offices, which are kind of in-house wealth management companies. And they are the ones who use this kind of tools to hide money. And so very wealthy people, and the subtitle of the book is, billionaires pay millions to hide trillions. They pay millions to these professionals, and they in turn create very complex tax loopholes and trusts and kind of all kinds of shell games, basically, to make the wealthiest people on the planet look like they, on paper, don't have that much money. That is kind of their whole mission.
So what do they, I mean, I guess this is obvious, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. What did they get out of it?
Well, they get a livelihood. They're paid quite well. It is it's a growing profession. And that's the thing, for instance, say in 1980, there might have been 1,000 of these family offices. This is where a wealthy family, and I'm talking about people with maybe of $250 million of wealth or more, will hire and bring in-house all these professional services. So that in 1980, there were maybe 1,000 offices. Today, there are 10,000 family offices globally. 1,000 of them are in London. So these are people who have very high paid occupations. But what they do, Joe, is they get up every morning and basically figure out how to help the richest people on the planet get richer and pass on more of their wealth to the next generation.
You talk in the book, and I think it's interesting, that at some level of wealth, you say the rich move from elites to oligarchs. What is that level, and what does that do? Why is that an important distinction to make?
Yeah, I think that one distinction is when people reach the level of about $30 million or more, they have enough wealth that they can, consume and meet all their desires and pass on substantial wealth to their children. At that point, it becomes a form of power, the power to shape the rules. And again, the difference between an ordinary wealthy person and what I would call an oligarch is that oligarchs use their power to both defend their wealth, fend off taxes, fend off oversight, but also lobby to change the rules. So we see a lot of these American oligarchic families, lobbying to get rid of the estate tax, lobbying to get rid of inheritance taxes or other forms of taxation, and lobbying to create trusts that only they can benefit from. And so, yeah, I would say that once you hit that 30 million and up, you're trading now in power. And that's when, as a society, we should be concerned, because they're using that power to warp and rig the rules.
There's a part of the book where I underlined, because I was really fascinated by it, that you write that so many of us look at the uber wealthy and say, well, nobody can touch them. They're safe. They're, whatever they do, they'll still make their money. And we can moan about it and be upset about it, or weirdly be, proud of them for that. I don't know. But what the point you make, which I think is fascinating, is that level of wealth, they don't feel that way. They feel like everyone's coming after them.
Yeah, I think that there's a sense, and the wealth defense industry kind of promotes this. Hey, the tax man is coming, or the lawsuit is coming, and we need to armor you up. And that's literally the advertising and the marketing. We need to take your assets offshore. We need to help you hide your money so that other people can't get it. And the other people could also be their former coworkers, their former spouses, people that they've grifted and stolen money from. I mean, I have a case study, several case studies in the book of, you know, people who start companies that bilk their customers, but the customers can never get their money back because they've hidden them in one of these asset protection trusts offshore. So yeah, it's a way that people avoid not just paying taxes, but responsibility for their actions.
What does responsibility look like?
Well, the rest of us, you know, if I crash into your car in a parking lot, I'm responsible, right? I need to make if I promise to send you a product and I don't send it to you, then I'm defrauding you as a consumer. If you and I have been married and we're raising a family together, but we reach the end of that marriage, I don't get to take all the money and hide it, you know? So those are examples, real examples, of how the very wealthy have a different set of rules and tools to avoid that kind of responsibility so that the rest of us have to live with.
So how optimistic are you that that can happen, that we can work on this issue, especially with the current administration and you know, the very early things we're hearing about taxing the wealthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very relevant to talk about this because, you know, if we're going to raise taxes on corporations to help pay for infrastructure or close down tax loopholes for companies that are taking their jobs offshore, or, you know, raising taxes on the wealthy, if this system is in place, we're not going to succeed. But I'm actually optimistic. I feel a number of positive things are happening. One is people understand that there's no oversight now. The IRS's capacity to oversee the tax dodgings of the wealthy has been just decimated, you know, and that you kind of need to rebuild the ability of oversight on the wealthy and on global corporations. There's a new push for transparency to require corporations to disclose who their real owners are.
Yep.
And there's a lot more international cooperation between the U.S. and other countries saying, you know, let's share information so the wealthy and these, you know, couple hundred global companies can't just pit us against each other in a race to the bottom in terms of hiding money. So there's more and more people are starting to understand what you and I are talking about, that there's this whole other system that exists for the wealthy, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And if we don't stop it, it's just going to undermine, you know, the quality of life in this country and around the world.
The new book is The Wealth Hoarders, How Billionaires Pay Millions to Hide Trillions. Chuck Collins, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe, for having me.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.